Welcome to the Psychology of Successful Women podcast, where we explore the mindset, behavior, and success strategies of high-achieving women. It's an inspirational show that helps ambitious women maximize their performance from the inside out and thrive in the world of business. You will hear insightful conversations with trailblazing women about how they have built a successful career or thriving business and how they cope with setbacks and challenges. Most importantly, each episode is designed to sharpen your mindset, share practical advice, and inspire you to take your success to the next level. Today's guest on the Psychology of Successful Women podcast is Dr. Heidi Paas, a PhD qualified geochemist geologist, a keen speaker, inspiring pioneer, and STEM role model. And she's hugely passionate about enhancing gender equity to promote opportunities and growth for all. Heidi has loved learning about the earth and revealing its secrets through geochemistry for close to 20 years. And her adventurous spirit has taken her from the Arctic wilderness to the rugged Australian outback and most recently to Antarctica as part of the largest ever expedition of women to the frozen continent. So stay tuned for a really practical and inspirational episode where Heidi talks to us about overcoming fear and imposter syndrome, the importance of building your own network of supporters and mentors, why progress trumps perfection, why backing yourself is key to success, and so much more. So Heidi, welcome to the Psychology of Successful Women podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Many thanks, Jonna. I'm really honored to be here talking with you today.
Oh, thank you so much for making the time. And, you know, there were so many things I knew I'd love to ask you about. And, you know, you have had an amazing career to date. You're a PhD qualified geologist, geochemist, working in the mining and exploration industry. You're one of two women to achieve the role of chief geochemist at a major mining company globally. You were a participant in the largest all-women expedition to Antarctica as part of a Women in STEM leadership program. And you are hugely passionate about supporting and being a positive role model for other women in STEM. So perhaps we could start with a little bit around how you got into geochemistry. Tell us a little bit about what led you down this career path.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess it all starts back in high school. I happened to do really well in high school chemistry, thanks to Mr. Harrison. So again, a plug for high school teachers. Yeah. So growing up in Canada, too, I spent a lot of my childhood in the outdoors, and I developed a real love for the outdoors. So I thought I would do a career in chemistry and the ocean, which was oceanography. Yeah. But when I went into university, I realized doing my chemistry degree, I took my earth and ocean science degree because oceanography was going to be a master's level course. Mm. And then with that elective in earth and ocean science, I just fell in love with the subject. And so it went from being a minor to a major to doing a double major honors in earth and ocean science and in chemistry. And then that led me, set me up for my career. And then when I was doing my honors, I had some really good advice from my honors supervisor. And he said, you know, Heidi, we're driving down, I finished my honors field work. And, you know, Canada's a big country like Australia, several days drive down from our field area and having a chat in the truck along the way. And he asked me, you know, the sort of the dreaded question when you're about to graduate, what are you going to do when you finish? And my, I guess my silence prompted him to suggest that there was a real demand for geochemists, particularly in the mining and exploration industry, because there weren't very many that had the chemistry as well as the geology training that I did. And that it was a very good skill to offer the industry in times and boom times and in bust. And yeah, I haven't looked back. I made a decision that that's what I was going to do. And I haven't looked back for almost 20 years now.
Oh, I love hearing that story. And building on your love of the ocean, I think we'll go down that track next, Heidi. So, you know, you had this amazing expedition to Antarctica, and there must have been so many amazing experiences during that groundbreaking expedition. Is there one story or example you would like to share of something that happened in Antarctica that has taught you a powerful lesson that you continue to draw on now in your career, perhaps?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, definitely Antarctica was mind-blowing.
I can imagine. Well, I can only imagine.
You know, it's such a land of contrast, and the wildlife was amazing. We saw so many penguins and whales. And our days, it was, as you said, it was a leadership course, so our days were divided up into two, with a half day spent in lectures or learning activities, and then on our ship, and then the other half day we were out and about in these little Zodiac boats, in amongst the icebergs and the crystal clear water, hiking wow. snowy hills and things. We were there, as I said, with 100 other women in STEM from around the world. So in that program, I learned that there are three different types of, I guess, overlapping leadership. The first is self-leadership. Mm-hmm. The second is leading others, commonly confused with management. And the third one is leading for the greater good. And what I really took away from the program was that I learned that by knowing and understanding myself, so that first one around self-leadership, including understanding, my quirks and quirks and idiosyncrasies, I can actually know and understand others better, and I'm better able to connect with others. And this has a huge impact on the positive outcomes that I'm trying to drive. So by knowing that, and then looking back on the three types of leadership, what I realized, I had this sort of epiphany moment, was that actually change can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
And for me, knowing that change can come from anywhere, this was incredibly empowering for me. And what I also like looking at leadership like this is that it means that every voice counts and that every one of us has the power to be a role model and a leader within our circle of influence. And that's always been really inspiring for me.
So I love that point, Heidi, around the fact that everybody, has the potential to be a role model and to create positive change in the circle of influence. And obviously that's one of your big passions about being a positive role model for other women. It's one of mine as well, for women and men. And you are absolutely leading the way in your sector, in your industry. And I know you must have lots and lots of amazing stories to share from that expedition in Antarctica. And I'm going to build on some of them in just a moment. So you've always been a trailblazer. I think for everything you've told me about your career, I always see you very much as this leader. You're trailblazing, you're breaking new ground. You're doing things that maybe some other women have never done before. You are such an amazing role model and inspiration. And I felt that the very first time I met you. And you have often worked in those traditionally quite male dominated environments. And, you said yourself, you're hugely passionate about helping other women and promoting that gender diversity in STEM. What would be some of your, maybe two of your top tips to help other women, have an amazing career, have a fulfilling career, really boost their success, perhaps particularly in those more traditionally male-dominated industries?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for those very kind and generous comments.
It's all true, Heidi. So I wanted you on the show.
Oh, that's lovely. I really appreciate that. So top tips. I think, so my first one is, I guess my first hidden secret is having a personal board of directors, mm-hmm. or I call it a PPD for short. And what you can think of this is, that's sort of supposed to be a bit of a fun title, but it's really a collection of people, a collection of, let's call them mentors, that I can call on for assistance and advice. And when a key part about these collection of people is that I share values with them and I admire or aspire to be like them in some fashion or rather. And there's something about them that makes me say, wow, I want to be like you in this particular way. So I nurture these relationships and I do my best to make these relationships a two-way street. Mm. And at times, they may have been a paid coaching relationship, but they're really people that a handful of people that they don't change too much over time, but relationships and people do come and go out of your lives. But it may be someone, for instance, that's quite good at geochemistry. It might be another one who's quite good at networking. It might be someone who's particularly good at interpersonal relationships or resolving conflict, these types of things. So there's, I've got people that I can interact with and seek advice from. Mm. And that sort of leads into the second tip. And I think for me, that's made a big difference is that particularly in the beginning of my career, is that I often felt alone on the journey. Mm. So I think the tip is to not feel alone on the journey. And particularly in industries or sectors where there's more men and women, I think it's not uncommon to feel that we are the only woman in the room or one of few women in the room, and to getting our voice heard and things, it can be quite intimidating. So I think finding or creating a group of people in your work setting that you really jive with, So you have a collection of people, you've got your tribe that you can share experiences with. They can be a sounding board and they can sort of ground truth, particular things, that comes up, that things just come up, and they can provide support and you can provide support for them. For me, that was really key. And then actually two other things that come to mind are skilling myself up. So skilling myself up around having critical conversations. this has really helped me a lot in maintaining boundaries or standing my ground. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you need to have, you know, someone's getting, they're trying to push some of their ideas or push boundaries and stuff, and being able to negotiate that to actually create a win-win outcome, I think is a learned skill that it can be done by anybody. And I've also found that, you know, getting informed about things that may be affecting me as a woman working in the industry where there's more men than women, like unconscious bias in myself as well as others, has helped a lot. Because at the end of the day, I can't action what I don't know. Yeah, those are definitely some pivotal, tips.
Love them. So many great wins in there. I love your first one around having that kind of personal board of directors. And I've kind of done the same without knowing it, I guess. You create that group of people around you. And like you said, some of them can be paid relationships in the form of a coach. Other people are more just kind of friends and networks and colleagues. But that sense of often those shared beliefs and those similar values and admiring or wanting to learn from them in some way and very much making sure they're mutually beneficial relationships, like all of that so resonated with me, and which linked into your other point around, you know, not feeling alone, because it can, you know, I know as a business owner, it can feel alone sometimes. And with a lot of my clients, you know, I work with men and women, but a lot of the women that do work in those more traditionally male dominated industries, like you said, sometimes being the only women in the room, making sure you don't feel alone and making sure you have got people that support you and that you can go to and talk to and share some of those concerns, all those sorts of things, huge. And again, your last point around, again, being aware of things and how those things affect you, and aware of things like unconscious bias and other things in your sector, because the more informed we are, the more kind of information we have and the more choice we have, right? So many great tips in there, Heidi. So, I mean, building on that, and something that links into some of those things we're starting to talk about already, but imposter syndrome is something that comes up with a lot of my clients, and you're already kind of laughing, right? Especially my female clients. And research does say that men and women can both struggle with this, but it does also say that women tend to struggle from it more. And it is particularly rife in those more, again, male-dominated industries. So if we're in the minority, we're perhaps more likely to feel like that. So I know I've personally had to work on this a lot, and I've had my own experiences around this. So many of my clients have. You know, have you ever had challenges with this in the industries that you've worked? And secondly, you know, because I kind of know the answer, but then I would love some of your tips, Heidi, some of your gold, some of your advice for other women who perhaps have had moments of this, and for men listening in, right? Any tips around, you know, your experience of this and how you deal with this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we definitely have that same old friend, imposter syndrome, and it seems to like to invite itself over for a cuppa at the most inconvenient times.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, when I first started my PhD, I had panic attacks actually for a while. I just moved to a new country. I didn't know anyone. I was setting up a new life. And while I was still in earth sciences, I'd switched to studying ore deposits from being an environmental consultant. So for those that are in the industry, they know that's like chalk and cheese. And while, you know, it was all enormously exciting and a big adventure, it was also a lot of change in a big short of time. And I was hugely intimidated quite a bit in the beginning. So, you know, in dealing with imposter syndrome or, you know, just fears in general, I think it's really important to remember that there's always uncertainty around us. We can't escape that, right? We sort of live in this illusion of control in our lives. But particularly at the start of something new, it's a given, that this uncertainty. And our minds can respond to this uncertainty with all sorts of fears or replaying unhelpful movies or voices in our minds from days gone by or what might happen. So, you know, I don't think it's realistic that these types of things or these will ever 100% disappear.
Yeah.
But on good days, you know, I remind myself that confidence is actually, it's an outcome. It's the result of honing my skills and my experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's the benefit of encountering the unexpected and dealing with that successfully over and over again. So this is actually a skill that we can use. It's a muscle. So for me, when I'm working on and building my resilience muscle over time, I typically do this in four different ways. So the first one is really short, but not necessarily easy sometimes, particularly for someone who's quite independent. And, you know, I like to be in control at times, but I have to remind myself that it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, it's really okay. And particularly this wraps in with that, like I was saying, my personal board of directors, like reaching out and going, hey, I'm struggling or something's about to come up. You know, what do you think? How would you deal with this? And then the second part focuses really on making sure that my inner self is thriving. So my inner garden, how am I caring for myself, my body, my mind, and my emotions? And I recently went through a really big transition, and I relied heavily on guidance from an old swim coach. Hmm. And his advice was that our small daily habits create the quality of our everyday lives. So when Love times that. Are really tough, when times are really tough, you know, I go to bed and get up at the same time every day, and I alternate yoga and walking in nature in the mornings. I make time to eat. So I don't eat on the go. My partner and I, you know, say what we're grateful for during that day around the dinner table conversation. And I meditate before I go to bed to help me sleep at night. So I get really fundamental about what are my physical, emotional, mm-hmm. Mental needs. And I make sure that I can do that. And rest is a really big one. So for me, rest is a cornerstone of being the person that I want to be, because it really affects my mood, my emotions, my brain function, and my stress levels.
Yeah.
The third part of that building the resilience muscle is more of an outer focus. So I've talked about the inner focus, and then there's the outer focus. So asking myself what external forces are influencing me that I can control specifically.
Yeah.
So here again, I interact with my personal board of directors to get good advice. And sometimes that good advice comes in the form of tough love, but that's why they're there. And I ground truth the situation I'm in and seek people that have gone before me about who I trust to give me, and again, I might hire a coach. And then the last part about building that resilience muscle is remembering, similar to what I was speaking about with building confidence, is that with experience, most things get easier. Mm. And so, you know, that old saying that, you know, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger in the end.
It does. Yeah.
So I've drawn a lot of resilience, particularly in this past situation that I recently went through. You know, I looked back and went, okay, you know, I've been through the X, Y, and Z in my life. I can get through this. Mm. So when I can make that space, when I'm in a tough patch and recognize that I'm actually expanding my comfort zone and I'm building skills, then this allows me to accept the situation more readily. And it makes me more compassionate to myself and to others. And the more tough patches, you know, that I collect as I go along and get older, the more resilient I feel.
Yeah. Well, Heidi, so much great advice in there and so many practical tips. Firstly, I can so relate to your story around, I think every single person I've spoken to has had some experience of this, right? And every woman I've had on the show so far all talk a lot about feeling this. And like you said, they've all said it never completely goes away. We've all had it in moments or in certain parts of our life. And when I went through a big change, like you mentioned in your career, it was the same. You know, I moved to London. I was only 29. So much change. I was one of the youngest people in the room. I was working a lot in finance at the time, often the only women in the room. And I definitely went through that whole period of imposter syndrome, you know, but as we do get more experience, and as you said, you have more things happen in life, you build up your kind of reserves, your confidence, your resilience, you know, and things do get easier over time. It doesn't mean you're never going to feel like that again. It doesn't mean it's always, you know, it's going to completely go away, but we build those strategies. And, you know, a whole bunch of things that you said, you know, I practice as well around resilience and self-care, because they're all kind of connected, as you mentioned. And I love, you know, watching out for your physical, you know, mental and emotional needs, and that sense of when we're not looking after ourselves, you know, and making time for self-care and things like that, and the great sleep. And you mentioned meditation and gratitude. All those great things help us feel calm, help us feel grounded, and make us, you know, more sort of, you know, internally strong, if you like, more resourceful, more able to access our ability. I love your tip around sort of controlling the controllable. We call it in sort of high performance psychology, Heidi, the same thing as you mentioned. But resilience research says that highly resilient people do tend to focus more time on the things they can control and the things they can influence. And because of that, it's kind of a feedback loop and they feel more confident. And your sense around just experience, right? And it's the same with me. I think the more things you go through in your life, the more you have to draw on. Do you know what I mean? As a bit of a benchmark. So when things happen, you kind of like, when have I experienced something like this previously? How did I deal with it before? And you do build up your bank of reserves, I guess, on those experiences to draw upon. So many great tips for anyone. Can they could just rewind and get a notepad out. I think you gave them about 10 tips there, Heidi. So thank you so much, because our listeners are saying they love the practical advice. There was so much right there. So building on that, I know you've probably received, and you've already shared some amazing stuff. You've received loads of great advice throughout your career from mentors, from coaches, from colleagues, from friends. What would be one of the best pieces of advice? And I know that's a hard question, but if I said to you, what's one thing that really stands out, maybe something you haven't, you know, mentioned so far, that you just think was a great piece of advice that's really sort of stayed with you or that you reconnect with?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Shauna. I think the one that I rely on the most, I guess, in the past, say, 5 to 10 years or so, is Back Yourself. I had a mentor that I was going for a big job, and, you know, I had all the imposter syndrome and fears and whatnot, and I was prepping for this particular position for some time. And he said to me, he said, you know, this can be a gendered thing or not, but he said it's often that, you've heard this, I'm sure, before, that, you know, if there's a job advertisement and there's a group of people that will say, oh, I've got this, but they've only got half of it. And there's another group of people that might want to have, you know, 10 out of 10 things. And he said, just back yourself. So this can obviously be easier said than done. And I'd say, though, for me, it's been around focusing on staying true to my values. Mm. And again, bringing in my personal board of directors can help a lot. Also, I found that knowing my strengths and weaknesses has really helped me be more strategic about when I need to seek support or guidance and when I can roll with things. And affirming, actually practicing and building skill around affirming and positive self-talk is a key one here as well. So I think it's probably going to be different for everybody, but figuring out what do you need to do to back yourself? What does that mean for you? So that when a situation comes up, you can go, okay, you can put your plan into place.
Love that tip. And I have to say, as a coach now for many, many, many years, that is one of the main things people come to me for support with. It's that confidence. It's that sense of how can I back myself more? How can I feel kind of have that strong self-belief and that belief in my ability to go out there and achieve the things that I want to achieve? And I love that. And I think that's something I've really had to work on and still work on in my own career. And that advice is just gold, I think, for everyone listening in, the men and the women, because like you said, that if we don't back ourselves, and this is not about arrogance, it's about that authentic confidence. You know, think of, like you said, we won't even go for those opportunities. We won't even put our hand out. We won't even apply for the job. You know, I remember when I applied for a job in England, and there was a part of me when I first moved there thinking, oh, I probably won't get this. I don't know if I should apply or not. And without telling you the whole story, you know, I did, and it changed the trajectory of my career because that was my first job in kind of consulting, and off it went. But I remember thinking about that as a real kind of pivotal moment, because if there hadn't been a part of me that did just believe that maybe that was a possibility and that backed myself enough to put myself out there into that world of maybe it could happen, do you know what I mean? All those things after would never have happened. So the belief becoming that self-fulfilling prophecy, and like you said, how it links to mindset, how it links to self-talk. You know, the whole point of this podcast is around the psychology of successful women, and that mindset piece is huge. And knowing your strengths and weaknesses links into that as well. So maybe following that, Heidi, have you got any specific kind of things you do tell yourself to help you back yourself? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you have any specific affirmations or, I don't know, you know what I mean, the mindset piece around that? Could you maybe tell me even a little bit more? Because I love everything you've just said.
Yeah, my favorite ones on there are, I can do this. Mm. So when I was, if you mentioned the panic attacks, what I was saying to myself when I was doing my PhD is, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I switched that to, I can do this. And I recognize that perhaps I'm feeling overwhelmed or anxious. And then I just break it down into bite-sized pieces. And it might even be as little as, you know, get the pen and paper out. And then that's all I can do. If it's like, but it's just breaking it down into small enough pieces that I think, okay, yeah, I can do this. I can do that part. And that will get me one step forward. And then it's just persistence.
Love that. So the awareness piece is huge. You know, as you said, becoming aware of our internal dialogue and our self-talk, because like you said, then when you were having anxiety or we're feeling really stressed, the quality of that internal dialogue is feeding that. And like you said, when you feel confident, you change what you're saying to yourself. You become really mindful of that. You're aware of that. And you say different things to yourself, which helps you with your confidence. Love that. And the small step things as well. Like, I do that in my life. I say that with my clients. I hear lots of people say that to me as their sort of tips. Breaking things down, because it's easy for all of us to get overwhelmed, right, Heidi? Especially with all the high achievers dialing in. We've all got goals and ambitions and lots of things we want to do and take on, and we're multitasking. But to break things down and go, even like when I was starting this podcast, you know, there's so many things you need to do. You go, okay, breathe. Break these down into small steps. You know, this is manageable. And then, like you said, also get people that can help you and support you. You don't have to do it on your own. So So many great tips from you, Heidi. And I love how they all loop back in and they all link to that self-belief and resilience and confidence and success as a general thing as well. So I know you're a really busy lady and we're getting to the end of the time on the call. So is there an inspirational quote that you just love or, you know, I mean, you shared that great one around backing yourself, but is there a guiding principle or an inspirational quote that you kind of live by that you draw on in those really, really tough moments?
Yeah. So, yeah, I love that question as well. What comes to mind is not really a quote, but it's kind of two concepts that I regularly come back to, sometimes hourly, you know, as the heat is on. The first concept is around persistence over perfection. I definitely, when I'm super stressed, I tend to perfection, and that doesn't help me achieve or be my best self. So I do remember that it's better to have an 80% something rather than 100% nothing.
Yeah.
And the second concept is courage over comfort. I read a blog some time ago by a person named Mr. Kamath. So hats off to him. Mm-hmm. And in it, he said, courage is the secret sauce that allows us to act despite our fears. Mm-hmm. And that has stuck with me ever since. That just really landed for me. So I sort of think, yep, persistence over perfection and courage over comfort. Take a deep breath. Maybe 6 deep breaths and you know, away we go.
Oh, I love those. And so many people listening in are kind of these high achievers, and I work with lots of perfectionists and I call myself, you know, a reformed perfectionist, Heidi. And I know you and me have spoken about the, you know, the dreaded double-edged sword of perfectionism many times before, but that progress, you know, over perfection is such a great mantra for all of us because it can be such a blocker to taking those steps and putting ourselves out there beyond our comfort zone and the courage. You know, one of mine is around Sheryl Sandberg. You've probably seen it where she says, you know, what would you do if you weren't afraid? That sense again of, you know, have that courage, take that risk. Love those. So I guess my final question for you, Heidi, kind of what's next? You're doing so many amazing things. What do you want to share with us as the last thing? What do you want to leave our listeners with? What's next for you in your amazing and very diverse career?
Yeah, thanks. I guess the biggest news for me is just this month, I've launched my own independent consultancy business.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really exciting. And, you know, our imposter friend, you know, dips in and out. But my primary offering is around providing my expertise in ore deposits to the mining and exploration industry as an applied geochemist. And then also continuing the volunteer work that I love. So I'm volunteering with the Women in Technology of Western Australia. And we're expanding our corporate diversity champion initiative, where we assist companies with their diversity and inclusion programs. So I'm really excited about being involved with that. And I guess now that I have more flexibility with running my own business, I'm excited about, you know, seeking out new opportunities to engage in my passion areas of earth science, STEM, diversity and inclusion that are popping up. And it's a really exciting time.
Oh, I love all of that. And I'm a big fan of many of those networks you mentioned as well. Huge supporter of WITWA. And I will include the links to those when we make this live. So, look, thank you so much for making the time to be on the podcast, Heidi. I wish you so much success with all your new ventures. And I really look forward to staying in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And love following your work as well, Shauna. It's made a difference.
Oh, thank you so much, Heidi. Okay, take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Psychology of Successful Women podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button or go to psychologyofsuccessfulwomen.com to download our free ebook and access a bunch of other resources. See you on the next episode.